next week as we help to spread the cheese.
This station and the more than 250 across the country like it need your support. Day in and day out, they bring you the news that matters. They play the music you won't hear anywhere else, and they are a part of this community. You can make sure they get the funding they need to grow by visiting mycri.ca, where you can find all the details about the Community Radio Initiative. It takes less than 5 minutes and a few clicks to generate an email to the politicians who need to hear from you, mycri.ca.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Welcome back to Flex Your Head, another special episode of Scream Therapy. On Flex Your Head, we take a breather from punk rock and mental health and explore classic punk albums, which I guess is good for mental health. All right, welcome back to the Flex Your Head podcast, special episodes of Scream Therapy, where we talk about classic albums. Today I've got Nelson from Nelson back again. We had you a few weeks ago as well. It's great to have you back here talking about another amazing album, a new classic. And what are we listening to?
We are listening to Propagandhi's latest album, At Peace.
So At Peace is Propagandhi's eighth album, believe it or not, and it was released May 2nd, 2025 on Epitaph Records. Band, of course, from Winnipeg, Manitoba, been around for, many years. And on this album features Chris Hanna, a.k.a. Jesus H. Chris, on guitar and vocals. We have George Samoleski on drums. Never said his last name before, so I'm not sure. Samoleski. Hopefully I got that right, George.
It's a good try, at least.
We have Todd Kowalski on bass and vocals, a.k.a. The Rod, and the band also features Sulin Hago, and they didn't play on a lot of the songs on the album, but they're in the band, tour with the band, etc. The album's recorded in Winnipeg with John Paul Peters and Jesus H. Chris, a.k.a. Chris Hanna, at John Paul Peters' studio Private Ear Recording, and also some recording done in Chris's basement in Winnipeg, produced by the band and by John Paul Peters. We're pretty stoked on this. It's the newest album that we've done.
We've both had almost a year to listen and reflect, and I don't get tired of this album because there's just so many great riffs and textures. It's progressive punk, if that's the right terminology for it, because I think they really embrace a lot of their influences and they're not afraid to. I hear Rush, parts of Rush here in some proggy tunes or like classic thrash bands.
It's a two-way street. You must invite them in. That is the rule. So when they say the days are by the fading, I'll rage at your fresh partial wounds.
I listened to the same records that they did in their formative years, and this is the sort of sum result. They just don't care if people say, oh, that's not really hardcore, or that's not punk rock, man. They don't really care. They're kind of past that. I mean, They've probably been past that for years, but they really embrace their influences on this one.
And there's a huge shift that maybe I don't notice as much now, but I remember listening to it for the first time and thinking, oh, okay, this is weird. They've really dialed back on a lot of the tempos. They've let things breathe a lot. I remember texting you as soon as I heard it and saying, what are your thoughts? And you're like, you know, pure genius, an epic masterpiece. I'm like, okay, good, good, because someone else understands.
Yeah, fearless is a good adjective.
Yeah, I think you might have said that in the text too.
Even us as long-term fans hearing it, it's not a record you're going to hear put out by Fat Records or any of those, like, you know, pop punk. There's so many different textures on here. Well, the lyrics definitely remain propaganda-y.
And like you said, it's not, obviously not how they used to be. They've always progressed. Every single album is a progression on the next. This album is a bit of a left turn in the sense that it really does, you notice right away that it's different. Whereas with the last, you know, three or four, Failed States, Victory Lap before this one, they still had that propaganda sound and they still felt like they're part of the canon. This one almost feels like they almost skipped three albums, like where they would be in three more albums.
Yeah, I like that.
They've really progressed a lot. And I like that they've just said, like, fuck you. Like, we don't care. We're doing what we're doing. We're going to do a weird, like, rushy kind of like little clinky xylophone song. They're completely on their own level now. There's no preconception of what they want to be. They're just writing music. And it's kind of like Fugazi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just very progressive, which I think is great. You can really paint yourself into a corner. I think we've talked about this before. You know, Slayer's not going to put out an acoustic album. They would never do that because they're Slayer and they're kind of painted themselves into the corner, which is brilliant and amazing. And no one does it like them. But I really embrace bands trying to break out of molds and evolve the art form.
Yeah. Well, another thing about propaganda too is they're always just so blazing. You knew they were playing amazing licks and amazing bass lines and the drumming is so good. But this is the first album where you can really hear that. Like, you can hear some really cool bass runs isolated. You can hear some really cool guitar work that's, like you said, very progressive and played out. And even with the vocals and the lyrics, like, everything's kind of expanded to this next level, which I think is going to definitely turn some people off. But I think at the same time, the folks that are really stuck by the band, at first I was weirded out, like I said, but now I'm just so thrilled that they did this album the way they did. Let's get into some songs. I mean, we could talk about every single song. We don't have time, but anything that really jumps out for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one, Guiding Lights, like we alluded to, the first time I put on that song, I was mouth agape. Like, what is going on here? It's such a crushing riff, but it's not a punk riff at all. I would say it's like a thrashy metal riff.
Todd is a huge Immolation fan. Immolation are a death metal band from the States. And so the song Rattan Kane off Failed States, which is a couple albums ago, was the first song that really reminded me of Immolation. I'm like, okay, this is his stab at that. This one is very much the same idea, but the thing about this song is, like, the lead up to it and, like, that weird little guitar lick at the beginning that's kind of off time.
Oh, yeah. Very skittery arpeggios.
So, yeah, there's definitely a death metal influence there. Great way to start the album. They've started a lot of the albums with Todd songs. I like the idea of doing this one. I think the second song, the title track, would have been a cool opener as well.
We'll be right back.
Make every boot, make every appeal. Prostrate yourself to the killing machine. Spare yourself from its wheels. Better them than me, roll so seductively off your tongue. Your reckoning has begun.
They have always mixed songs that Chris is lead on and Todd is lead on, and this song has a good ratio of those as well. The Todd songs are his own world, you know, his own way his mind works, and it's like unlike any other music, really. So like No Longer Young is probably his most poppy song that he's done, but you've got, like we said, Guiding Lights and also God of Avarice, Fire Season and Day by Day, and then Chris's songs are loosening of his frantic style, but still hitting hard with songs like Prismatic Spray and Vampires Are Real and Rented PA. Like, they're all there, but some Propaganda albums tend to blaze by so fast. On this one, every song has a very distinct personality to it. Let's use No Longer Young as an example. It almost sounds like an 80s rock anthem, like a Canadian, I hate to say this, but like Summer of 69 kind of, you know, like way more simplistic pop song, and it really punches a lot more too. Todd used to do a lot of screaming, and I think his voice hasn't held up over the years, and that's why you've heard less and less of the screaming. But in this album, he's pretty much 100% clean, but it just hits harder for some reason. You can hear more emotion in his voice, even though he's not screaming. And so those songs are real crushers. Overall, it's a very strange, interesting, daring record in a lot of ways.
Yeah, very. There's so many unexpected textures on this album. And like I said before, just kind of fearless. It just pushes the genre along into strange and maybe sonically challenging territory, and lots of crossover vibes for me, like sort of DRI era. Is it punk? Is it metal? No, it's crossover. It's both.
Resigned that our turn has come, knowing we are in a season of fire.
And they're huge fans of that as well. I know that there's a big representation of Canadian crossover bands like Sudden Impact and Corpus Vile and SNFU. They definitely give props to those bands. I was surprised that there's only three songs that are over 4 minutes long. They seem like big, huge, epic anthems, but yeah, that was kind of a surprising thing. The album itself isn't really that long, considering all the stuff that's going on it. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be like And Justice for All in like 75 minutes or whatever. Some of the lyrics on the album and some of the themes, the idea of growing older, having changing priorities in life,
As I found personally, the older you get, the more sure you are of your place in the world. And maybe for all of them now, because they're a similar age to me, they're realizing you can change a lot of things, but you can't change everything.
Yeah.
What maybe before as a young person where you're wondering where your place in the world is, they're accepting their place in the world and that they will always be calling out fascist and racist and all those things that they stand against, which sort of being somewhat a feeling of discontent because you don't fit into that standard mold of society. With age, you just learn to accept that.
A lot of the songs, maybe a handful, are more personal songs too. They've delved into that in a political way. Like, I know a lot of Chris's songs from previous albums were very, you know, like he wrote a song on Victory Lap about his, you know, wanting to see his children have a better life and a better world. And, but it was through this lens of like apocalyptic 1984 George Orwell kind of a lens, which is creepy.
Writing wise, that's thematic for him for sure. Like a prismatic spray. He talks about apocalypse and nuclear war. So he hasn't shied away from that or changed that.
I like the personal songs too. The lyrics from No Longer Young, which Todd sings on, just lines like, "Sorry to hear, my friend, I hope I'd see you again. There are no chosen ones, we all return to dust." That part just gets me. I'm assuming a friend that died. And what I like about this record is how they have, I don't want to say simplified, but they've really dialed down to make more impact in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
In Stargazing, I prefer introspection. Give me that space for reflection. Give me those endless dull moments. Stargazing. Dream chasing. Now my little heart's breaking. Tearing it all down to the foundation. The message is there, but it's just, it's way more impactful when it comes from the heart, I think.
Like you said, a lot of self-reflection and departure is not the right word, but a new texture for the band.
Introspection. Give me that space for reflection. Give me those endless dull moments. Stargazing. Dream chasing. Now my little heart's breaking.
Yeah, more reflective, softer. It's a nice palate cleanser in the way it sits in the album. It's a really beautiful moment in the album.
And then there's this weird pregnant pause. And then all of a sudden, I've had my doubts all along. And then we're into God of Avarice with Todd singing. That bit after Stargazing just completely blew me away.
I've had my doubts all along. Your head is bowed, but I don't believe you're really praying, cause I've seen no sign that you believe a single word you're mumbling. There's nothing that hints you've been touched by the light of an all-loving one, a god of empathy, calling out from the shore, a light.
And my partner was saying, like, wow, he's got such a great singing voice, because we're so used to hearing him scream mm-hmm. his face off. And he's got such a very earthy, even approachable voice. And that part is just so good. And that song, God of Avarice, is, I think, one of my favorites on the album.
That song, to me, is their most Rush-like moment on the album. It's very proggy. And like you said before, by softening their approach, they've sort of unlocked a new texture for the band, and the riffs have more space to breathe and are sort of heavier than before, because there isn't this cacophony of blazing fast. It's still heavy, but it's heavy in a different way.
Any lyrics that stood out for you? Honestly, we could just read all the lyrics for all the songs and we'd be good to go. Like, I was trying to take out some ones that I liked. I'm like, you know what, I like every single line of every single song, so how do I do this?
I loved Bonino's early work, which is a very obvious commentary on Trump's America as the Roman Empire. They have a very interesting self-reflective way of commenting on world events.
And they haven't lost the humor either. Like, they still have the humor on Prismatic Spray, which is subtitled The Tinder Date, where Chris writes about going on a Tinder date to Disneyland and then having this post-apocalyptic, everything's burning down and there's melting bodies, and what a funny song. But
yeah, like you say, at the end, it kind of turns into like a Terminator 2 skeletons holding onto a fence as they get vaporized apocalypse.
Her hair is in flames. My flesh melts from the bone. Oscar Needle remains left in a Los Angeles pose. The inner workings of the machinery is exposed. It really wasn't so bad as far as Tinder dates go.
And then like with Vampires Are Real, where I think it's Jord, but it's like, dear Propagandy, your music, and then ba-na-na, they cut him off. And that's the funny part too.
Vampires Are Real. Showing empathy and love to your enemy is almost a Buddhist mantra song.
And the song Something Needs to Die, But Maybe It's Not You, which is the last song, they always have these lines at the end of the albums that just give you that kind of to be continued or is it over for good sort of feeling. That's a really cool moment as well. They do leave you hanging a lot on their albums at the end. And I always wonder, kind of the same with Fugazi, where they had the album called End Hits. I'm like, well, does this mean that they're, is that it? Mm-hmm. But I like that toying with the listener to see like, hey, you're going to come along for this? Or that's a cool moment as well.
Yeah.
Kerrang gave it 4 out of 5. Metal Hammer gave it 4.5 out of 5. Metal Hammer said, the songs run the gamut from hardcore chugathons to toe-tapping alt-rock. Assume they're talking about stargazing there. But they're tethered by the most consistently mature melodies the band has ever unloaded. You want to do some YouTube comments?
Yeah.
This one is in relation to Guiding Lights, what's the first song on the album. Hold your breath for this one. It's by Jacob Moya, WSU, and it was 10 months ago. This song implicitly describes some of the mob-driven killing night which might occur during some ancient festival. For example, bonfires were lit on Beltane or Walshnacht, but it could very likely also refer to a kind of Krishnacht. Do the cascades of light refer to SS torches or the barrage of at least 4,300 rockets that were fired on October 7th, 2024 during the Hamas-led attack on Israel? Lastly, perhaps this envisions some not yet realized night of deportation that Trump will soon commence in the States. Who knows? The guy was very like, he's like on there to write a thesis paper. This one's from at Smeagol72, 11 months ago. So I'm beginning to realize that this band keeps hitting the mark in so many ways throughout my life. Thanks for reminding me that I'm not dead yet. That kind of speaks to some of the songs on the album addressing that.
For sure.
This one's kind of typical and pretty predictable, but it's at CitizenBrain8065 one year ago. And they say, I often heard, we need more Rage Against the Machine, now more than ever. No, we don't. We have fucking Propagandy.
Again, like, they called it At Peace. So it's ironic because they're not at peace with how the state of the world is and the environment.
Yeah, and that line in At Peace where it's, I'm at peace, but presently I'm convulsed with grief.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty funny. It's about Prismatic Spray, the Disneyland song by Josh Mays. They say, fun fact, if you hit play just as you begin the first chain lift on the Matterhorn, the lyrics kick in just as you're midway through the second chain lift. I don't know if that's tested or not. Here's your reviewer that's, you know, not on the same page as most of us. Tyler PGHQ says, 10 months ago, damn, this is just rock music. Nothing special, but a little boring. The brilliance and the magic is gone. But hey, we're all growing older and becoming irrelevant. Oof. That's a different take on.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about earlier how this might isolate some fans because it is definitely it's got a lot of rock elements to it. But yeah, I'm a firm supporter of bands sort of breaking the mold, you know, like Refused did, like Turnstile has done, just pushing the envelope. Otherwise, I think there's a danger we become like a parody of ourselves in the punk idiom. Like blues is like 1/4/5, and it's like, how many times can you write the same song? Let's push the genre a little farther. Let's expand it.
I wonder where that germination was of this, like what was maybe the first song that they started working on, this really cool, different, expansive album. Was it Guiding Lights, the riff of that? Was it the slow build up in that piece or the song Cat Guy? Very, very like chugging, like, you know.
I would love to know the conversations that were happening in the band as this album started to germinate and they were writing it. Ultimately, of course, they released it, so they don't care. But did they say, hey, you know, I wrote this riff. It's very like Rush. Oh, let's hear it. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Let's start working on that.
Or did they have a real fast blazer that they, like, was that Vampires Are Real, just like a blazer, like status update on Failed States, you know, just like a total, like 1 minute long. And they're like, you know what, like, let's, maybe let's not keep this as a 1 minute song. Let's see what we can do with it. Any final thoughts on the album?
I really love it. For me, it pushes the genre of punk rock into exciting new places. And by using familiar sort of sounds that I grew up with, thrash metal, classic 80s metal, Rush albums. I was, much like you, the first time I heard it, I was very surprised. And after my second or third listen, I was all in. It's just fearless. They wrote these songs and they have maybe textures that people weren't expecting to hear from a punk rock band. But I love that they've been a band for so long and they're still surprising me. You know, as you said before, you could sort of put their last three or four albums as a sort of cohesive whole. And then this one just blew that mold away. So I don't know if there's going to be a next Propaganda album, but I'm very curious to see if they would continue this soundscape progression into other realms.
I'd like to say At Peace is Propaganda's best album, but then again, every Propaganda album is their best album.
Mm-hmm.
The change has been super welcome for me. They have moved into this kind of elderly statesperson role in punk rock, and they'll hate that, of course, but that's how it feels. It feels like they're there to be something that like you can aspire to in some ways. And let's hope that punk bands kind of take that and run with it. Don't forget to listen to more episodes of Flex Your Head at the Scream Therapy podcast website, which is screamtherapyhq.com. We've also got over 130 episodes of the main podcast, so check some of those out. Thank you so much, Nelson. Really enjoyed talking to you about At Peace.
Always fun, man.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, online at cjsf.ca, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, home of McFog the Dog.